Recently, a millennial, I went to New York City and met up with all of my favorite radio producers and hosts and asked them for a job. And I know that I told you in this episode that I was going to be talking about an interview that could lead to a possible job in radio. But we're going to hold off on that and take a bit of a detour because of what has developed recently. Also, I just want to let you know that there's a lot of cursing towards the end of this episode, so if that's not your thing, you have been warned.
Okay, are you there?
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's Millennial, M-I-L-L-E-N-N-I-A-L.
E-N-N-I-A-L, Millennial, okay.
Yep.
This is my dad, Vincent. He's a retired 69-year-old, and he's the kind of guy who doesn't have an iPhone because his flip phone works just fine. And he also has a bit of an accent because even though he came to the United States in 1968, his voice and his identity still reflect that of a Chinese Singaporean.
And then podcast.org.
Okay. What is podcast anyway?
A podcast is like a radio program.
Oh, really?
Yeah, except they're shorter. So instead
of... Who listens to these stuff?
Who listens to them?
Yeah.
Whoever has like an iPhone or people who don't want to listen to the radio, they can listen to podcasts.
Is it what people do when they walk around with the earphone on their and then what they're listening
to? They could be listening to podcasts. They could also just be listening to music.
Even though my dad may not know what a podcast is and probably has no idea what I've been doing in my spare time in the dark with a microphone for the past couple of months, I haven't been talking to my father. I've been talking to people who write me emails like this. Hi, Megan. Love the podcast. I was wondering if we could talk about possibly sponsoring your podcast. Do you have any information about pricing and availability? Anyway, let me know if you're interested and we can chat. Exclamation point. Here's another one. Hey, Megan, I hope you're having a great weekend. I just listened to your latest episode and was moved by your story. Your story is compelling and your production is tasteful. We want to support your podcast and hear more of your stories. If you're interested, let us know. Sponsorship. The thing I've been asking for the past 8 months is knocking at my door. But underneath my initial excitement, there's a lot of anxiety because this is the first time people are asking me to put a price on my worth, and I have no idea how to do that. You're listening to Millennial, a podcast series about when no one really teaches you how to maneuver your 20s, captured in real time. When I asked for sponsors on the first episode of Millennial 8 months ago, I had no idea what I was doing. I just thought, that's what you do. You ask for sponsorship. Because when you listen to your favorite podcasts or radio shows, they all have sponsors. But I had no idea that asking for sponsors would launch me into a world where I felt totally overdressed and underqualified.
Hello?
Hello?
Hi, this is Megan.
Hey, Megan. How's it going?
Hi. I'm good. Is this still a good time for you?
Yeah, absolutely. Let me just start things off by saying I was super, super excited to have come across the podcast, not only for me to listen to personally, but, you know, to explore a potential partnership. And you said you're just starting to do sponsorships?
Yeah.
Interesting. That must be really exciting.
Yeah, it's exciting. I would much rather have a really savvy business partner and be like, here, take over, you know, like you do everything, and then I'll just make the content. But that's not where I am right now. So it is exciting. I think it would be more exciting for like somebody who really loves business.
I cannot believe I said that out loud. And I cannot believe I said that to a possible sponsor. That is definitely not what you say to someone who wants to invest in you. But at this moment, I was being honest.
Hey, Mom.
I was just thinking of you.
This is me talking to my mom after this phone call.
Yeah.
So I asked a question. Whatever happened to your sponsor?
So that's what I'm talking on the phone with. All these people are reaching out to me. And I have to try to figure out how to monetize things. And I have no idea how to break these numbers down for these people. So, yeah, it's hard because I'm really shooting in the dark right now. So,
I really was winging it. And I really wished that I was working with someone who knew what he or she was doing. But I didn't have that choice. So I started asking people in the radio community for advice on how to handle sponsorship. The response I got was slim, and it had a familiar tone. One person said, "I'm making it up as I go along," and, "You should aim high and see if it works out." Another person told me to contact a consultant in New York City, read some articles, and to Google it. That wasn't exactly what I was looking for. I needed someone to talk to me about numbers, because the sponsors who were knocking at my door had a lot of questions. They wanted to know, how much does an ad spot cost? How long would it run? How many could they buy at once? How much would it cost if they wanted it to be exclusive? Did I have a contract? Have I worked with sponsors before? Did I have a sample of an ad they could hear? And all of those questions are valid, but the majority of them, I didn't know how to answer. So when I found myself sitting in front of my computer, staring at unattended, unsent, unanswered emails, I started to feel overwhelmed. I started to feel like I had an inability to deal with money once again. And I had a greater inability to figure out how much is this product that I really, really care about worth. I was trying to figure out how to answer that question. But at the same time, I felt like I was running in circles and wasting time. So there was this point. I know you're not going to be too happy about this, but there was this point where I almost stopped answering sponsorship emails altogether. I would just open them, star them, and unconsciously push them off to the side because I just didn't want to deal with them. All I wanted to do was focus on making episodes and practicing radio. I didn't want to deal with business. Because to me, business is sticky and uncomfortable. So instead of facing it, I just started to ignore it. But it wasn't until I was in the car, talking to Ben, my boyfriend, that he told me that my lackadaisicalness was not the best way to move forward.
I know you don't want to deal with all the logistics, but like, I hope you're not being too cavalier, because I think I would regret losing the sponsorships. I don't know, to get paid to create whatever the hell you want is like a pretty sweet gig. Things don't get a lot better than that.
But I think I just am getting overwhelmed by, like, no one is really advising me. No one is really consulting me. No one is saying, I have been in this industry. I know exactly where you are. I know exactly how much you're worth. I know exactly what you should be asking people. I know.
That person doesn't exist. We all want that person to exist. I want that person to exist for me, too. But no one can tell you what you're worth. They can't. Like, that's the problem. That's why it sucks setting a price on your worth, on your work.
For the first time, I was starting to understand what Ben has to deal with all the time as an independent owner of a production company. And even though I'm constantly overhearing him talking with clients, negotiating how much it would cost for them to hire him to make a project, it was always background noise. And now, I can understand that figuring out how much you're worth is hard, especially when you're young, because you don't know how much you're worth. And once you get to that number, you also have to believe it. And then you have to convince someone else to believe it. After that conversation in the car, I knew that Ben was right. And I knew that I couldn't ignore those emails and pass up these opportunities. So I decided to move forward. And in order to do that, I knew that I was going to need help. I needed someone to handle the business side so that I could focus on the content. All right, we're going to go.
Okay. Look at you, girl.
I know.
Like a working woman.
Huh? I am a working woman. Yeah. Okay, we'll see you.
All right.
And that led me to Ohio. I was in Columbus visiting family when I decided to call up a friend, Ian. Ian's basically been an entrepreneur since he graduated high school. And now at age 22, he's starting his own advertising firm. He's the guy I want next to me before I take a call with a sponsor, because he knows a lot about business that I don't know. There's nothing like saying, bye, Mom. Like... I'm going to go to a meeting now. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. Ian and I were heading to eat lunch. And there I was going to lay everything out on the table and give him my collaboration proposal.
Like when I called and when I emailed you this morning, it was really because I was like, I need someone to help me, because I feel like I'm literally like running through the woods with no flashlight, you know?
Yeah. Like I told you earlier, like, that's sort of what I do, is I see the creative side of things and then I see the business side of things. And if there's no one there between the two, or if you don't have those skills, which is, if you don't have them, you need to find a way to facilitate that.
Right after he said that, I just jumped into my proposal.
I think that you could you can contribute in two facets. One of them is selling and is like working with sponsors and figuring out like who are the target sponsors, who would benefit from this podcast, and selling to them the benefits of Millennial, basically, and the closing deals.
I want to do it a lot. Like, I really want to do this and help, but in how much?
This was another question I didn't really know how to answer. Ian was asking me how much time would he be spending on Millennial, and how much would I be paying him to help?
Well, I guess we got to figure out what's a fair, commission.
Sure. Yeah. What are you thinking?
Do you have anything in mind?
I did. Yeah. With the sponsorship, you would get a percentage of whatever is being commissioned. Yeah. That's because... Yeah, I mean, like, that's all I can offer. I guess the only, from your standpoint, I wouldn't be able to, pay you, you know, unless...
we got a sponsor.
Yeah, unless we got a sponsor.
A sponsor we didn't have yet. Sure, I had lots of people knocking at my door asking if they could become sponsors. But no one had signed a contract, and no one had said yes. So basically, I was asking Ian to work for free, and that was a hard sell. So we left the restaurant, got in the car, and there he crunched some numbers, some hypothetical, optimistic numbers.
10-12. So 12,000 episode. And let's say we generated that per episode. Our commission divided by our hourly rate-ish would be 44 hours of a month going towards Millennial.
So 44 divided by...
4 would be around 10 hours a week.
Uh-huh. So that's like 2 hours a day.
So it's 2 hours a day.
Uh-huh.
On that side of things, with numbers in my head now, it's like super sustainable.
You feel better about it.
I feel way better about it. I feel like it would be a really good move.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Cool. Okay, I'm excited. I promise I won't end any more business conversations with the word cool. But I was really, really excited. For the first time, I felt like I had a wingman. Like I could call up Ian and ask him about anything I didn't know about business, and he could help me answer it. Which I did. Especially after a Fortune 500 company emailed me out of the blue and asked me if they could possibly sponsor Millennial. I did freak out a little bit, but then I called Ian.
Ian?
Yep.
Hey, okay. So, yeah, what do you think?
First, what did he say to your follow-up?
Oh, so, yeah, he just said we're still interested. I don't know. I'm at this place where I don't want to push people too far, you know?
Too far.
And not get a deal. A company like this. You know what I mean?
In sales, I've always learned that really all it's about is overflooding them with the value that they're going to create, because it's just a complex of, are you providing more value than the price you're asking for? And if they think so, then they're going to buy it.
Okay. All I have to do is flood them with more value than the price that they're asking for. I still have no idea what that means. But I did my best. Good morning. How are you? In this conversation, you're only going to hear my voice. I did not record the voice of the sponsor.
Yeah, I think it would be great to partner with you guys. I just wanted to know, I just had a couple of questions for you. I want to know, have you ever worked with podcasting before? What are specifically the goals of your campaign? Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah. So I just want to go over this one more time. So what I have is, you guys are looking for maybe a pre-roll that's 15 seconds, and then a post-roll that could be 30 seconds to 45. Is that okay? And then we would work on some kind of script. Okay, great. All right, great talking to you. I'm glad we were able to do this. All right, have a good day. You too. Bye.
Even though it may have sounded like the conversation went really well, the part of it that you didn't hear is that nothing was set in stone. The representative still needed to go back to his team and talk to them, and once he did, he would get back to me. So even though it felt like I was really close to landing something, nothing happened. And this was happening all the time. I would get a call, have a conversation, they'd say, "We'll get back to you," and then they wouldn't. Again, call, talk, talk, talk. Great, let's move forward. No response. And then it felt like everything changed overnight. It was Friday night, and after going out with friends, we all came back to our house.
Just to see how these guys
Look
did their thing.
Look how hipster we are with all of our goals.
Right? Little hipster millennials.
And we were sitting around our living room like little hipster millennials with Kentucky moonshine in our mason jar glasses, surrounded by trendy roadside furniture, toasting to the recent discovery of the podcast making it on the new and noteworthy section on iTunes.
Yeah. Are we toasting?
Yeah.
All right, guys. Here's to millennials. Yeah. Recommended.
Cheers.
I'm nervous.
Ouch!
It feels like it evaporates off your tongue. That's
my lips are burning.
Right.
I feel like I took a shot.
It didn't go down your throat.
No, it just went poof.
But it's still a little bit on fire.
Yeah.
This all went for me.
And as we were all talking, Ben was on the computer. And that's when this happened.
Ready for me.
Do you fucking know about this?
I
You're
do not.
The Guardian.
Whoa.
What?
You're on the fucking Guardian. Do you know this?
I do not know
you
this.
You need to Google yourself more.
Megan!
Wow. You're on
oh
the
my
fucking
God.
Guardian.
Wow. That's...
Scroll up so I can see the headline. Scroll up.
The headline is Millennial Podcast Review: Insightful and Megan Tan is much more likable than anyone in Girls. Girls.
Yes,
the fucking
you.
Hit TV show.
Yeah.
This launched yesterday.
Okay.
This is The Guardian. This is the biggest newspaper in England.
Read it. Can we read it?
Oh, my God. I am going to cry.
How did you not know this?
I don't know. I didn't know this.
I didn't either. I just Googled it right now.
This is really weird.
This feels like staged. Is this staged? Did you guys?
I don't know. This is great. I'm so happy we came back to the apartment. Oh, man. Yeah, I didn't know this. I had no idea. I had no idea.
After Millennial was reviewed by The Guardian, all of a sudden the notifications on my phone wouldn't stop going off. Millennial was being quoted by other radio hosts like Anna Sale from Death, Sex, and Money, Alex Goldman from Reply All. I was getting emails to be interviewed and featured on websites like the Public Radio Exchange, and Millennial was number 27 on iTunes. It was crazy. But still, if you listen to the most recent episode, there were still no sponsors. Which made me start to question. Was there something I needed to change on my end? Was the number that I finally came to, the number that I thought I was worth, the number I thought Millennial was worth, was that number too high? Was that the reason why people weren't calling me back? This episode was brought to you by Squarespace. Yay! Squarespace. Build your website today at squarespace.com. Enter offer code MILLENNIAL, MILLENNIAL, at checkout to get 10% off. Squarespace. Build it beautiful. And also by Audible. Audible.com has more than 180,000 audiobooks and spoken word audio products. Get a free audiobook of your choice at www.audible.com/millennial. Editing help for this episode was provided by Ben Severance and Dylan Ward. Also, special thanks to my father, Vincent Tan, my mother, Susan Tan, Alex Acesto, Ian Hoyt, Olivia Gunn, Phil Koptashevsky, and all of the companies who had those initial awkward conversations with me about sponsorship. It was a real learning curve, and I do appreciate all of you. And this is a special thanks to you, the listeners of Millennial. Without you, I wouldn't have sponsors. When I first started working at a restaurant, they always used to say, teamwork makes the dream work. And that's totally true. So thank you. I am your host, Megan Tan. Thank you for listening. Next time on Millennial. After applying to a lot of jobs, internships, and fellowships, I start to have some breakthroughs. I'm a finalist! Yeah! I finally pass the first filter of applications, and I start preparing for my first round of interviews.